When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Get to know our state. We treat each other with respect. We bargain and negotiate. Hey, Governor Walker, you better go back to school. Study our democracy and brush up on the golden rule. Hey, Governor Walker, you weren't elected king. Your budget repair bill.
1670 WTDY, we are back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it's nice to know that a year from now, Scott Walker will be on the unemployment line begging the Koch brothers for a job. And Tanette will be standing right by his side. We are back in Milwaukee at Zach's Cafe, 231 South 2nd Street in the historic ward, where they voted overwhelmingly for Tom Barrett for governor and Russ Feingold for Senate and Chris Larson for state Senate. And now joining me, the next state senator from the 8th District, Sandy Pasch. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
I got to know you when I got in a little tiff with Phil Woodman over mental health coverage, right?
That's correct.
Introduce yourself to the people that don't know who you are.
I'm Sandy Pasch. I'm the state representative from the 22nd Assembly District. Was elected in 2008. And now I am running against Alberta Darling for state senator in the recall election.
So Alberta Darling started out as Betty Ford and has become Michelle Bachmann. Would that be a... That's kind of the trajectory of her career over the last 10 years?
That's an interesting perspective. She's definitely been sliding to the right.
I mean, she used to be on the board of Planned Parenthood, and now she voted to cut $1.5 million from Planned Parenthood?
Yes, yes. She also used to be someone that we thought cared about public education, cared about children, cared about the values of Wisconsin, and she doesn't seem to be doing that anymore.
Hmm. She also used to vote to settle contracts where people had collective bargaining rights.
Yes.
And you support collective bargaining
rights.
You bet
I support collective bargaining rights.
All right.
I don't understand this governor and this senator who believe that if you don't, that you have no place at the table unless you agree with them.
You told me something as we were getting ready for you to come on the air here. You said as you go door to door, even in some of the more Republican parts of your district, people that have been Republicans their whole life, they have daughters and sons that are teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They don't really like the idea of them being vilified.
They certainly don't. I've had many conversations with people say, you know, I've always been a Republican and I'm voting for you. I don't like what they've done to my wife. I don't like what they've done to my son. I don't like what they've done to my kids. And I talk to them about it, and they're talking about their teachers. They're talking about public employees who have been demonized by this administration and by Senator Darling.
They've come up with this fictional state worker. They've come up with this sort of fictional character that makes $75,000 a year that doesn't do anything but be a bureaucrat, right? Or they've come up with, you know, Mark Belling says teachers in general are awful people. Right, that's what they're spewing on a daily basis, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's very unfortunate what they're saying.
So do people understand that these cuts to workers were not modest? I mean, we had Gilbert Johnson on a little earlier talking about there are some people's paychecks where $300 is going to come out of their paycheck, and they'll have like $100 left.
You know, some people do get it. There's a real estate agent who's a big supporter of mine, and she said, we need to get more real estate Democrats speaking out because this does have a ripple effect. I've had teachers who were planning on buying homes. I've had public employees who were planning on buying homes, and those deals are falling through now.
We're going to have Walkervilles all over the state, right?
That would be very unfortunate.
It
won't happen because we're taking back the Senate. So
we are... All right. I think there are a lot of people. We're in Milwaukee this morning, but there are a lot of people in South Central Wisconsin listening. They want to know what they can do to help, because I saw a little poll that had you tied with Alberta Darling.
Yeah, my poll says I'm up by 1 point.
All right.
And but I started a little low. So we have gained. The momentum is there. People, once they really hear what our message is, what we can do to bring back Wisconsin, they're moving over to our side.
All right. What can people do to help?
What people can do to help, well, come on down here. We need people to help knock on doors, to make phone calls, to get literature. And, of course, you can always contribute to campaigns.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. So. You don't have the Koch brothers on your side.
I do not have the Koch brothers
on my side. You don't have Terry Kohler on your side.
I do not have Terry Kohler on my side. I don't have big corporate interests on my side. I have the people of the state of Wisconsin on my side.
All right. You don't have the... You don't have the big mining corporations on your side. You don't have the... By the way, Scott Walker has already raised $2.5 million for his recall. And they've gotten so desperate, it turns out, they're thinking of recalling him themselves so they can time it with Michelle Bachmann's primary victory, right? Alberta Darling, Michelle Bachmann, I get them mixed up. But anyway, they're literally trying to time it now. They're so desperate. They know how much trouble he's in.
Mm-hmm.
That they're thinking of recalling them themselves. That's cynical.
Well, we've seen a lot of cynical behavior.
Yeah, didn't you have a primary opponent?
I did. I was just going to bring up Gladys. my fake
was it Gladys Kravitz from Bewitched?
I'm sure Gladys is a lovely lady, but we never had the chance to meet her because she wouldn't come out of her house. She wouldn't meet with the media. She was unfortunately.
She was getting her concealed carry license, right? Yeah. By the way. Alberta Darling was ready and did support the. Now I admit that I'm pro concealed carry.
We've had that discussion.
We disagree on that. I'm not running in your district, but the truth is that I didn't support Pam Galloway's outrageous Wild West bill. Now, what did Alberta Darling vote for in the Wild West bill?
I think Alberta said that we needed to do. She was sort of hesitant on that whole thing.
But in committee, it seems to me they let the constitutional carry bill go forward.
I believe they did.
Yeah. She really hasn't stood up against them on anything, has she?
No. And it's really unfortunate for someone who's been in the Senate for over 20 years, who has such a powerful position on joint finance, has been afraid to really speak up for the people of her district, for the people of Wisconsin, for the kids who need good education, for teachers who really care about their kids. She's just been afraid to speak up, and I really don't understand that.
I say she gets a big fat F when it comes to standing up for workers. Now, the last night I was watching television. I watched Fox 6 News last night, and during the hour newscast, the Club for Growth, and what that means is the Club for Growth for the top 1%, the Club for Growth ran four ads against you, and I didn't know that you were for drunk driving. You're for child rapists. What else were you for?
I don't know.
Nuclear waste. You were for just about every horrible thing in the world. They're throwing mud at you.
They really are.
Really fast.
It's a huge distortion because obviously they're trying to distract the attention away from Alberta Darling's very poor record in the Senate.
Although it was kind of funny that ad. The ad the other side is running, and it isn't your campaign, has Alberta Darling turning her back on constituents. Is that how people feel, as though somehow Alberta didn't listen?
Oh, they definitely feel that way. There were over 30,000 signatures that were collected to recall Alberta Darling, 10,000 more than were necessary. People really feel that she stopped listening, she stopped responding. I heard over and over again people who said, yeah, I called her office, and they never called back. I sent emails, and they never responded. I sent letters. She won't show up at town hall meetings. She doesn't want to listen to us unless we agree with her.
It's my understanding that, actually, let's talk about that next. There's something coming up today where Sandy and Alberta will be in the same room. Now, Alberta's been dodging debates, and for good reason. But today you will speak to her, and we'll talk about that. Coming up next, we're live from Milwaukee, Zach's Cafe, 231 South 2nd Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. High in the morning.
For 30 pieces of silver, you betrayed our state. For 30 pieces of silver, you fostered all this hate. For 30 pieces of silver, you listened to the Kochs. For 30 pieces of silver, you betrayed Wisconsin folks. Scott Walker, you're a hypocrite. Your budget bill ain't worth a spit. First governor that we will fire, Scott Walker, you're a bald-faced liar. You demonize our teachers by lying about their pay.
Madison 1670 WTDY. Today we're Milwaukee 1670 WTDY. Live from Zach's Cafe. From the historic and beautiful Third Ward, where they don't vote for Republicans. We are here again with the next state senator from the 8th District, Sandy Pasch. All right, Sandy. You've been a nurse, right?
I still am a nurse.
Were you in a union when you were a nurse?
Actually, no. I taught nursing and I was a volunteer nurse. There was never a union opportunity for me in any of my places of employment.
All right. But you'll stand up for the nurses that have been damaged by Governor Walker's.
I have, and I will continue to. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. All right, good. We would love it if every state Senate candidate would reiterate their support for all these people that collected signatures and went out and fought. They deserve collective bargaining rights, correct?
They deserve it.
All right.
How they took away 50 years of our tradition and just...
Gaylord Nelson versus Scott Walker. Isn't that really something?
Mm-hmm.
How proud, what a legacy he is. Parks are named after him. You know, he had a huge memorial service. I can't even imagine what we're going to be naming after Scott Walker.
You know, the other thing that happens at Doors, too, are people are just shocked at you know, the taking away so much of our tradition and the bullying that's been going on by the Republican Party, how they don't want to listen to anyone who disagrees with them and they just ram things through. That's really resonating at the Doors, that people are tired of the bullying mentality.
Well, they've got a new form of democracy. All they have to do is go to an ALEC convention. They go to these ALEC conventions, right, where they have the shadow government. I'm not even exaggerating here. I don't know if Alberta Darling's a member of ALEC or not.
She is a member of ALEC.
Alberta Darling's a member of a group of people that designs programs to outsource jobs, privatize, and lower wages.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. She must brag about that at the country club.
Huh? I don't know. I don't belong to a country club, so I have no idea
what
the discussion goes on.
I think she does. Progress had been made in your first term. You were able to get some things through.
I'm very proud of my first term. I got the mental health parity bill passed.
All right, and that was a huge deal.
It was a huge deal. And it meant I had to work with Republicans, too. We had six Republicans sign on to that bill, vote for that bill. Two were co-authors of it.
Well, God knows Republicans...
But now they want to get rid of it.
God knows Republicans should support mental health parity. If there's any group, if there's any tribe that needs mental health parity, it would be that group of people. Good Lord, they've turned that. Well, I won't use Marty Beal's words, but they've turned the Capitol into a mental institution. I mean, seriously, the behavior to somehow think that just because you get the majority that you literally operate like a hedge fund manager, you know, operates or a CEO.
Right. And Scott Walker's compared himself to a CEO, and he's compared the state of Wisconsin to a business. And I think we have. You know, the purpose of a state is different than the purpose of a business. We're supposed to look out for everybody.
Scott Walker got kicked out of Marquette. How could he be a CEO? Well, the Jesuits didn't even like him, right? All right. Now, I want to talk about what's happening today, because you are going to be in the same room as Alberta Darling. She's finally going to face you, right?
She's finally agreed to sit down. Now, it's not really a debate. It's a discussion, and it's taped, and it's controlled, and there's not a live audience.
Well, that'll be running on statewide TV.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
All right.
It's on the Mike Gushue show.
All right. Are you going to give us any hints of what you're going to say to Alberta Darling today?
Well, I would like to get her to go on TV and explain some of the bad decisions that she's been making for the people and how she can possibly defend that. You know, and you know, people, if they want to know my positions and if I won't have enough opportunity to talk about it on Mike Gushue, they can definitely go to my website, sandyforsenate.com.
So you're willing to debate her anywhere?
You bet I'm willing to debate. We've accepted so many debates and she has turned them down with educators, with advocates for people with disabilities, the public policy forum.
Well,
I mean, just over.
You
and over.
Need to cut her a break, because when you've got wheelbarrows of money coming in from all over the United States, and God knows, I mean, you're at a severe disadvantage, because there's different rules for her in this campaign than you. How does that work?
prior to the campaign being certified at the end of May, she could collect unlimited amounts of money from a single donor. So she had donors giving her $30,000. I'm limited to $1,000 per donor. Now, I have a lot more donors, though, than she does. So that's the good part.
Oh, you mean like people?
Yes, I actually have
people. People that live in Wisconsin?
Yes, people that live in Wisconsin.
Ah, where are her donors from?
Oh, all over the country. All over the country.
Really? And would they be wanting to lift the living standards for the folks here today?
I really don't know that they are that invested in the living standards of the people of the 8th Senate District or the people of the state of Wisconsin.
How does it feel to be vilified the way you've been with those vicious attack ads that R.J. Johnson wrote?
Well, it certainly doesn't feel good, but as I mean, said, it's a distortion.
Are you for drunk driving?
No, I'm not for drunk driving, you know, and it's unfortunate, too, because prior to becoming an elected official, I worked with law enforcement. I've trained hundreds and hundreds of police officers in the Milwaukee area. I've trained rookies. You know, that's public safety has always been something that I cared about, but all of a sudden now I'm a nurse who doesn't seem to care about individuals.
And you're not for child predators?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, you watch that ad. I mean, do you think that sort of thing works?
I hope it does, and I hope the people of the 8th Senate District can see through the blatant fear that's being displayed by putting those dirty ads on TV.
It's hard. Sandy Pasch with us on Madison 1670 WTDY. She's the next state senator from the 8th State Senate District. If the Democrats get the majority back.
When the Democrats get the majority.
When the Democrats get the majority. Sorry. Is it time to not only undo what they've done, but possibly change the Constitution so they can never hurt workers again?
We aren't going to be able to undo some of the things that they've done if we only have one House. So we're going to have to keep working. We're going to get the momentum going.
Should we get the Assembly?
I think we need to get the Assembly and we need to get the Governor's House back. Then we're going to get our state
who's
back.
Who's that goofball from South Milwaukee? Who's that? We need to get rid of him.
Mark Honadel?
Yeah, let's get rid of Mark Honadel. Should we get rid of him? Should we get rid of Keith Ripp in Dane County?
Yes, I think,
These guys purport to be pro-Wisconsin. You know they voted against the Buy Wisconsin and Buy American Act?
They haven't been showing any
loyalty,
concern for the people of the state of Wisconsin.
All right. So we need volunteers.
We need volunteers. If you live in the district, we need your vote. And, of course, we need some contributions, too.
We need contributions.
Yes.
What does this come down to? It's so hard. You know, we have such a polarized electorate. Are there truly any people that are undecided?
There are people who are undecided. I've been knocking on doors and making phone calls throughout the 8th Senate District. And there's some people who go, I'm almost there. And so then we talk and we get them there. You know, some are concerned about, I've never voted for a Democrat in my life. You'd be the first one. What is this going to be like? And so having an opportunity to talk to a Democrat, to find out what this Democrat stands for, direct them to my website, sandyforsenate.com. But having the opportunity to really say, you know, if you vote for a Democrat, your values are going to be honored and respected in the state of Wisconsin.
Did you explain to them it's not normal that a governor would take workers' rights away, would cut funding for birth control and Planned Parenthood, that would go against the wishes of the majority of the people on concealed carry? I mean, I admit I support it, but the state of Wisconsin wasn't for that bill.
Well, and it's not just concealed carry. It's concealed carry that is much less restrictive than even Florida's or Arizona's, you know. So it's concealed carry and then some.
Yeah, literally the training could be done by a blind monkey. And there's no, seriously.
You don't have to handle a gun to get a license. You can do it. You do the training online.
You can do it online.
Yes.
You can do it from the same place that some people get those phony degrees, right?
I suppose.
All right. Well,
comfort of your living room.
All right. Well, let's get it done for Sandy. Let's do a big round of applause for the next state senator from the 8th district.
Thank you.
You are a champion. You are a champion for mental health in this state. You are a champion for workers. You are a champion for the environment. You are a champion for women's rights, for the dignity of being able to go to the polls and vote. And by the way, that's the other thing. We are not going to let them suppress the vote with their phony voter ID bill as well. We're going to go to the polls And even if, and by the way, you don't have to show your driver's license in this election, correct?
No, you do not. They will ask you. You do not have to show an ID. They will have your signature,
all
though.
Right. All right. Good.
Well, thank you for giving me this chance.
Thank you. And thanks for coming in. Oh, just a second here. I don't know if this is legal for me to do while I'm on the air, but here's a check for your election. All right. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Why don't you stay there for just a second? Because we're gonna bring a guy that who's actually affected by these terrible cuts and works for the state of Wisconsin and has one of the best political websites that's linked to Sly's office. It's called Blogging Blue. Zach Wisniewski, welcome, Zach.
Thanks.
You've got a great website. Why don't you tell people what's on it and direct them to it?
Well, the website is www.bloggingblue.com. Basically, it's a progressive political blog.
So it's nothing like Boots and Sabers.
I think I'd be the polar opposite of Boots and Sabers.
All right. While this whole thing has gone on, have you gotten more hits on your website?
Yeah, traffic has gone up significantly.
Yeah, that's what's happened with ours as well. People are really engaged, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's because people understand what this is. It's a battle against the middle class.
And then some. And against the lower class, against the... In some respects, it's even some effect when you talk about the Dane County economy. There are people, and I tell some of the salespeople that work at our radio station, yeah, how's that vote for Scott Walker working out for you? Small businesses don't have the money they once did. He's literally hurting the state economy with what he's doing.
He's hurting the state economy, but he's hurting a lot of good people who are hard workers.
Right, including you.
Yeah.
You took a pay cut from, you were damaged by Scott Walker.
I haven't taken the pay cut yet, but it's coming. It's going to be about $300 a month extra out of my check, and it comes out of one check. So one of my checks is going to be $300 less, I believe, if it's been explained properly. And then, just to add, on the other side of it, my son receives Medicaid through the long-term support waiver program, so that's at risk. My mother-in-law, who lives with us, is a Social Security recipient, and she's on Medicare. So in my family, we're looking at all these potential cuts to programs that are helping people that really need it.
And King Walker is going to give that money to corporations.
Because they need the help.
They need the help now. No strings attached. All right, Zach, Blogging Blue.
Yes, Blogging Blue.
All right, it's linked to Sly's office. It's a great place for information. Sandy, Zach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank
Live
you.
From Milwaukee, Sly in the Morning, 1670 WTDY. Today we'll say at Milwaukee 1670 WTDY, we are live at Zach's Cafe, 231 South 2nd Street in the historic 3rd Ward in my hometown, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where my mother was a Milwaukee school teacher, public school teacher, and my dad was a proud union member who worked for the federal government. They were both government employees, and I couldn't be more proud of the values they raised me with. So just think, I used to tell people, well, now Scott Walker's really, you know, he's bad, his policies are bad, he's a nice guy. Well, you know what? Scott Walker's not a nice guy. We've never had a meaner governor, have we? All right. Joining me now, Chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Mike Tate. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Welcome to Milwaukee.
So I mentioned your name a couple times on my program yesterday. Did you?
I got a few emails about that, Sly.
All right, would you like to clarify your
statement? I would. You know, what I said, it was perhaps said a little bit inelegantly, and I really said it out of frustration, not with your reporter at WTDY, but with a few other news outlets, because these elections, they started because of what the governor did to public employees with collective bargaining. You know, I'm the son of a Milwaukee public school teacher, the husband of a state employee at UW-Milwaukee. No one needs to explain to me why this stuff started, what was important. We were out there marching shoulder to shoulder with everyone in the cold in February and sleeping on the floors of the Capitol. But it really has mushroomed into more than just the collective bargaining argument. This is something that is about what Walker is doing to every segment and facet of Wisconsin's economy and community, the cuts to education. I just had a kid a few weeks ago, you know, and where I live, we have excellent schools, but I'm worried about their excellence being able to continue. We see drastic things that are going to harm our seniors, that are going to harm our environment. We see, you know, drastic cuts to women's health and everything else. And so what I said was quite inelegant in how I did, and you did a good job of pointing that out.
Did I?
You did. But let me say that, you know.
Well, I've said inelegant things myself, as you probably have heard.
I have, from time to time.
Rebecca Clayfish.
Yes.
But.
And I defended you during that time. But, you know, look, I mean, one of the first things I did.
We call her Oconomowoc Barbie now, by the way.
I don't want anything to do with what you call
her. All right. So, all right. But collective bargaining is a very, we need to repeal Act 10. All right, let's just say it. We need to repeal Act 10,
We need to repeal Act 10, and I'll go you one better. What I think we need to do is, I think as soon as Democrats get control of any house of the legislature, the first bill we should introduce every legislative session until we get it passed is a reinstating of collective bargaining rights. That should be the first thing we do, and then we should go get that constitutional amendment.
All right. Senator Carpenter has introduced a bill that would amend the state constitution so they could never take collective bargaining rights away. You support that?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, all I asked, and I talked to Marty Beal about this yesterday, and I'm hoping all the Senate candidates do, and I understand that there's got to be a broader message, but could we have some validation for the people that have lost their collective bargaining rights on maybe the We Are Wisconsin website? And I know you don't run that website, but let's just make sure that we never forget about that, because I know that you support the Employee Free Choice Act, and that kind of slipped past the president. You know, that out of sight, out of mind thing? I just want, you know, and I'm a Democrat. I rejoined the party.
You're probably sorry
I rejoined the party.
You are a dues-paying member.
All right.
Happened about a week before you called Rebecca Clayfish names.
All right. All right. Let's just remember the Democratic Party is about worker rights.
I'll go you one better. I have said publicly over and over again that organized labor, the union movement, is the backbone of the Democratic Party. And if we ever forget that, we have completely lost our way.
Well, let's remind the president of that. We need to I said this when Leo Girard came to join us at the state capitol earlier this year. Public workers, next time New Page or one of these paper companies screws over their workers, we're all in this together. Because what happened is when they outsourced, you know, 100,000 manufacturing jobs out of Wisconsin, that caught up with the state coffers. And now public employees are being asked to give up their rights and their paychecks. Also, the people that actually did the damage to the state in the first place can get bigger tax breaks.
Well, you know, I got stuck behind a train on my way here this morning, so I, of course, whipped out my iPhone and was reading the news.
Did you say a train?
A train. We have them here in Milwaukee. We were hoping to have more of them.
Dylan and Trevor were going to take the train over this morning, and they waited and they waited, and it just never showed up.
As someone who lives here in Milwaukee and commutes to Madison, believe me, I would love the train. I would pay the money to ride it several times a week, but that's not the point right now. But there's a story in the State Journal this morning that Associated Bank, the second largest bank in Wisconsin, I think it's now officially the first because M&I is now a Canadian bank.
The Bank of Montreal.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have made in profit, and I don't begrudge them for making this in profit. They've made $3 billion in profit in the last 10 years and have paid $0 in state taxes.
As Dean Wormer would say, 0.0?
0.0. And you know, look, they
do any of their workers give any of their executives give Scott Walker money?
You know, I'm sure that many of their executives do, but my point is they employ thousands of people, whether they're tellers making 35 grand a year or whether they're, you know, vice presidents making 150 grand a year. Most of those people, if not all of them, pay their taxes. But Associated Bank, which makes $3 billion in profit in 10 years. And look, I got my money at Associated Bank. I'm not going to lie to you. My dad works at Associated Bank. I think it's fine that they make a profit. That's what part of the.
But they should pay taxes.
They should pay their darn taxes.
Well, right here, Marv Veek from Ask Me 1077, Janesville, Wisconsin, the people that clean the roads and do the road work, he has offered to collect the $1.2 billion of uncollected taxes. That man, Scott Walker wants to bring back bounty hunters. That's our bounty hunter right there. Let's give Marv Veek and the folks from Ask Me a big round of applause. He is willing to collect that money.
Good.
All right? So, and I don't really think you want to mess with
him. I was just going to say, I'd give him money.
All right, sounds good. Mike Tate, Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Appreciate
always.
It. Let's all sing the Scott Walker Blues. So Scott Walker came to Beloit the other day. Scott Walker tried to give a speech at the Welcome Center where he hired a bunch of scabs to smile at the people from Illinois when they come to Wisconsin. Now, it's a pretty funny story. He showed up. We cornered him like a caged rat, and he was sweating. And as he got up there to try to pretend that he was just a regular garden variety governor, we sang a little song. They sing it at White Sox games. You remember that song that we sang? Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey, goodbye. Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, goodbye. And then he slinked off like a little rat and got in his SUV with his security, and he was off to another corporate donator. Next year, Scott Walker is gone. All right, joining us now, AFSCME Council 48 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Rich Abelson. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you something. When we're done getting rid of Scott Walker, is it time that Milwaukee get a new county board chairman?
Oh, it is absolutely time for the county to get a new county board chairman.
And I think Milwaukee could use some new landlords, too. What do you think?
Absolutely.
All right, I think we need some new landlords in Milwaukee. Even though Milwaukee is such a progressive county, and by the way, Milwaukee rejected Scott Walker by a pretty wide margin in the last election, the county board failed to come up with a new contract for your workers. How'd that make you feel?
Well, it was very disappointing. We worked very hard, and unfortunately, Lee Holloway and his cronies on the county board torpedoed the tentative agreement that we could have reached, and it was a shame. It shouldn't have happened.
And workers were willing to do their part, but once again, you were rejected.
Absolutely. The workers understood that there was a need to make sacrifices, and they were prepared to make those sacrifices. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough for Lee Holloway, and like I said, his cronies on the county board.
Well, they went as far as to try to stop you from speaking with your members at any facilities, right?
Well, that has now been fixed.
Oh, I understand, but yeah. They tried, right?
There was an attempt by some department heads to prevent.
Were some of Walker's thugs? Any Walker's thugs left in county government?
Oh, sure, sure. You can't be there for 8 years and not have some hangers-on.
All right, now Scott Walker, I met you for the first time last year, or at least talked to you for the first time. And you told me that Scott Walker's not very smart. You were very direct about it, that Scott Walker just takes orders.
Well, I don't think Scott Walker's a great thinker. I don't know any people who, I never thought of him as gifted, but,
neither do the Jesuits at Marquette.
He's a very canny guy. He can be very charming when he wants to be, and he takes orders very well.
Well, he really tried to charm the socks off a lot of people.
I think that's true.
And, he would come on my show and give his point, although I will tell you something. If you throw a curveball, he had a little trick. He always pretended his phone cut out when he didn't have the answer. And then he called back about a minute later. Well, he's not welcome on my show anymore.
Well,
he isn't.
I hope not.
He's not well. He is. Well, no, I like having people on that I disagree with, but I will tell you, this goes beyond Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. What he's really done is he's destroyed 50 years of labor peace.
Well, it's not just him. I think it would be a mistake to think about it just in terms of Scott Walker.
Well, we got the Dukes of Hazzard up from Dodge County, the Fitz the Lesser and Fitz the Elder.
I think it's very obvious that they couldn't continue to succeed in their attack on the middle class unless they did something to weaken the labor movement. And I think that was the underlying strategy to continue their program and their policies to destroy the middle class in this country.
Rich Abelson, AFSCME Council 48, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 1670 WTDY. How did it make you feel when you saw Dennis Kucinich cross-examining the governor as he was sweating there on Capitol Hill, and he said, "Is this does collective bargaining really have anything to do with the financial well-being of Wisconsin?" And Scott Walker had to say no.
Well,
because he knew when you lie to Congress, you can end up Roger Clemens.
Right. Congressman Kucinich did a phenomenal job when Walker was before the committee, and I have tremendous respect for the congressman. And it was great to see Walker finally have to tell the truth about what he was trying to accomplish.
Oh, we need more Democrats like Dennis Kucinich. I'll tell you that. All right, the human toll. Gilbert Johnson talked about UWM workers. The folks from the Teamsters were here this morning talking about what their workers are going through. What type of price are the people you represent paying here in Milwaukee?
Well, obviously there's going to be an economic price, obviously, but this was a sacrifice, again, that workers were willing to make. The real toll is going to come in a voice at work and not having that voice in the same manner that they had it before.
Now, in counties like Dane or Milwaukee, there's a chance that you'll have some people that will still listen to you.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Sure.
Right? And Chris Abley is going to be here in a few minutes, and he has reiterated that. We'll hold him to it, right?
Absolutely.
We need to hold them all to it, right?
Absolutely. There needs to continue to be a relationship where we can exercise our right to have a voice at work. And that's what I think all people who work for a living deserve.
This is really about dignity, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What are your members saying about signing up, even though you weren't able to get that contract done?
Oh, we're having a great response from our membership. Our membership has been very supportive. They've been signing up. They have been voluntarily paying their dues. We've got people walking in every day with checks. And again, it's very gratifying. It shows that everybody understands the gravity of the situation and how important it is to keep our union intact.
Do they understand that Walker's not going to stop? The privatization's coming. I mean, we know what happened down in Racine County where we literally, of course, you know, Ron Johnson got the ball rolling on using prison labor. Are we going to replace Ron Johnson next time he tries to?
Well, you know, that's something that was actually floated in Milwaukee County 15 years ago. And
what are we, China?
You know, you shouldn't have to go to jail to get a job.
Well, I have actually, we actually came up with personalized license plates for the governor's car the other day, and eat cake is going to be the governor's personalized plate. And I think hopefully he'll be making license plates at some point. We have a situation now where we have these upcoming elections. You must have people that live in the 8th State Senate District.
I live in the 8th Senate.
Well, are you going to be voting?
Yeah, I think so.
My favorite moment during this whole thing is when Dan Kopanky, he was at a country club speaking to his constituents in Onalaska, at the Onalaska Country Club, and he said, "The only hope we have is that state workers and municipal workers are going to be sleeping on August 9th. You guys going to be sleeping on August 9th?
I don't think anybody's going to be sleeping on August 9th. There was a poll that just came out that said 15% of union members are undecided in this race. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. How could anybody be
those are
be
people
undecided?
With Scott Holmes syndrome. We call
yeah.
that Scott Holmes
yeah.
syndrome.
Well, and even they have decided. They may be embarrassed to say, but the fact of the matter is I don't think anyone is undecided. And if any union member doesn't understand which party stands up for their interests and which party stands up for big business and destroying them, I don't know what to say to those folks anymore.
What do you think about union leaders like Terry McGowan from the Operating Engineers who just endorsed Randy Hopper for state senate?
Terry McGowan's a disappointment. You know, and I, you know, this goes back years. It's not just this race.
Oh, no, John Gard twice.
Yeah, Scott Walker.
Scott Walker.
You know, Terry, I don't understand him, but I don't think he reflects the.
Well, it's my understanding
the
he did that.
Of his members.
It's my understanding he did that without his members.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. The fact of the matter is, the operating engineers, I think in general, are a very progressive union, and I think their membership is very progressive. They understand what's at stake here, and I think the membership will do what that they'll do the right thing.
Can we fight to get some better leadership with the Milwaukee Firefighters Union and the Milwaukee Police Union?
You know, every union chooses their own leadership, and I'm not going to say that we should interfere with any independent union and how
they elect their offices. Well, not interfere. I just encourage and educate.
You know, again, I think most rank and file police and firefighters
I agree.
Understand what's at risk here. They know they are not forever immune from what's happening here. And I think there are some grave concerns amongst the membership, and I think in the long run, you know, they will come around to the proper way of developing policy and exercising.
Well, here's our little message to Terry McGowan or any other union chief that endorses Scott Walker and Scott Fitzgerald and Jeff Fitzgerald and Michelle Litchens and the rest of that tribe. They're coming for you next.
Absolutely.
They're coming for you next. Wisconsin is never going to be a right-to-work state. Wisconsin is never going to turn into Mississippi. We're just not going to let it happen.
I hope not.
From my cold, dead hands, will they take anything more? And we simply have got to hold Democrats, when they get back into power, accountable for repealing Act 10 immediately. Right?
Right. I hope so.
I want that gone. I want that repealed before they even step into their offices. You talk about an extraordinary session.
That works for me.
All right. Let's do it. Thank you for your leadership.
My pleasure.
Thank you for standing up for workers. And just know that those of us in Madison are standing with your workers. We know the sacrifice they're making, and we're going to take this back. And you let me know. I will gladly. I know that I may not totally blend in, but I'll go knock on doors in Lee Holloway's district. You find him an opponent, I'll knock on doors. All right?
We're looking.
All right, let's replace all these bastards that screw us. All right, to Rich Abelson, Ask Me Council 48.